the Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I've recovered from a frustrating experience I had last night. My wife asked me to vacuum the front room, which, you know, I'm more than willing to do once every 8-9 months. I'm vacuuming. And I've noticed I've been doing this. This makes no sense. There was a string on the floor. The vacuum cleaner would not pick up the string. Went over it 4, 5, 6 times. Nothing. So I bent down. I picked up the string. I looked at it. Then I dropped it back on the carpet and tried to pick it up with the vacuum cleaner again. This is why she's nervous about letting me vacuum. It's good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. A little tired today. I am tired. I stayed up last night. I lay in bed. You know, you ponder things in bed. I mean, who doesn't? You think about great things. You think about moral conundrums. You think about the Western Hemisphere. You think about the speed of light as it traverses the known universe. Well, I was laying in bed, and I was looking up at the light fixture. And I saw a bunch of dead bugs in it. So I got up and I felt around the edges of the light covering. It was tight up against the ceiling. So I spent about 2.5 hours laying there staring, thinking, how did those bugs get in there? How are they going to get out? This is the stuff I ponder. This ought to give you confidence. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program here, call-in program. You are the callers. I am the callee. And there is an intermediate step, Eric Dumont, there in Ann Arbor Radio Studios, because this is a co-production, Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. You call 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal is the number to call to get on to the program. Why? That's for you to answer. My speculation is that something's bothering you, something's coming up, something you'd like another thought on. Obviously, we can't solve the problem completely. Every once in a while, we do. What we can do, maybe give you a little direction, a little education about something, whether it's a person, place, thing, rock, paper, scissors, whatever it might be. Could be particular, could be generic. You know, Dr. Ray, does hypnotic regression really work? I mean, can you take somebody back to when they were 3 years old? Hey, for me, that's only about a 6-year maturity distance. Given that, you please call in at 877-573-7825. Love to talk to you. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get on to the program. Okie dokie, I ran across some good news and some bad news. Saw an article here in Ohio, about Ohio, that the COVID infection rate is down 80% from December, from a high in December. Now, some might say, well, it's because of a vaccine. Well, no, under 10% of Ohioans have been vaccinated. So it's not the vaccine. All right? I think maybe we're just passing through this. And in fact, and I don't know exactly how much this figure runs through a day or two or three or four, but there were no deaths reported. Zero deaths reported. Now, for the most part, nothing has changed in Ohio. There's still a mask mandate. You're not allowed to have gatherings of group of people over 10. The churches are every other pew. There's no holy water. I mean, just nothing really much has changed, even though the numbers are gone way down. Now, I'm a shrink, okay? I have to look at and think about and assess how people talk. They come into my office. I can't know if what they're describing of their world and their reality is accurate. I can't know that. I have to assume some of it is. And there's ways I have to listen to them to get a better gauge of whether they're accurately representing their world, their marriage, their kid, their life. I have to. I have no other way. No other way to know. I listen to the words people use. I listen to how they phrase it. I look for inconsistencies. That's just what I do. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I had a girl once tell me, she goes, quit being a psychologist. And this was in some conversation we were having, and I said, I can't do that. If being a psychologist means to have a certain kind of approach to listening to people. I'm not doing therapy. I'm not doing diagnosis. I'm just listening in a certain way. Well, of course, way, way back, there were several things told to us here in Ohio by our governor. One was, we're going to do the mask for 4 to 6 weeks. Just to conquer this. And then, of course, we're going to flatten the curve. Not decrease it like 80%. We're going to flatten it. And, of course, there were a whole bunch of other things that he said were goals, number-wise, which have been reached. The hospitals are not overwhelmed, and none of this is happening. And still, recently, they just came out and said, no, we can't ease up. Okay, all right. I'm not gonna argue that. However, and I've mentioned on this program that there are unintended effects and invisible victims by all of this. This came out, and there are more and more mental health people coming out and saying this. Although, my guess is, I'm doing a lot of guessing these days, that many of them are quiet because they're afraid of going against the narrative. This psychiatrist says, he uses some pretty graphic language. The world is suffering from, quote, mass delusional psychosis. Now, psychosis, in its definition, is a loss of reality. All right? What you're believing is totally contradicted by reality, and it will not be moved, budged by the facts. Now, this is what he thinks. He says, because of the pandemic. Let me read a little bit of what he says. Psychiatrists has claimed that the ongoing Wuhan coronavirus pandemic has caused the world to suffer from, quote, mass delusional psychosis. If you look at, for example, United Kingdom, I mean, they're on lockdown over there. And they have had something like 4,000 deaths of people under age 59 in a population of 50 million. Okay, you do the odds. You do the odds. So one can say, well, stop, Dr. Ray, that's still a lot. Well, is it a lot? Now, good people of goodwill can disagree with this. And scientists disagree, by the way. Is it a lot to shut down a whole culture with the effects that can have? Now, here's what this guy says. I go a little farther. He said, he expressed concern that this highly irrational fear. He said, the true public health crisis is not COVID, he said, but the fear of contracting it. Now, this is his words now. Don't get mad at me. He expressed concern that this, quote, highly irrational fear will have a lasting effect on children. I agree with him, by the way. Since their own parents and grandparents are responsible for instilling this reaction. They are. Not deliberately, maybe. Not intending to. But kids look at grown-ups for their signal as to what the world is like. How dangerous is it? I can't tell you how many kids develop phobias because their mother or father had a phobia. So the kid picks it up. Going on, there was an article written in a magazine, and the article mentioned a number of otherwise irrational behaviors that have become normalized. These include parents being kicked off planes because children are not wearing masks, people having hysterical meltdowns when they see someone without a face covering. This is a highly irrational state without any basis in reality, this author remarked. quote, instead of facing reality, the delusional person would rather live in their world of make-believe. Others have to be go along with how they view this world. Otherwise, the world will not make sense to them. The psychiatrist said, he called it delusional psychosis. I called it a global phobia. I did. Because a phobia, by clinical definition, is a fear that constricts someone's behavior far beyond the actual risk. Okay? He said, it became clear to me, this is his quote now, the psychiatrist, within the first two or three weeks in March of 2020, that it was fear. Since then, the fear has morphed and evolved into an actual belief that is against reality. Now, the argument is, of course, it's not against reality. What are you talking about? This is a very dangerous disease. We have 500,000 people who have died from it. Well, leaving aside the numbers, by the way, part of the reason the numbers are going down, they have now changed the way that they're calculating mortality statistics. Up to this point, it was probable COVID as well as tested COVID. Well, they've gotten rid of probable. Now you have to be tested. You have to be test positive. Anyway, that's a sidelight. Let me, here's what he said. He recently cited statistics from Centers for Disease Control and Prevention showing a 400% increase in adolescent depression compared to a year ago. 400%, that's five times. 100% is twice. 400%, five times compared to a year ago. Teenagers involved in 25% of these depressions have contemplated suicide, which the author remarked as unheard of. According to the psychiatrist, being disconnected from other people is a primary cause of depression, especially among children and adolescents. He continued that people need physical contact and emotional intimacy to feel safe around others and within themselves, and digital interactions cannot replace actual ones. Listen to this one. And this is true, too. And I'm maintaining that a lot of what's going to be happening with our kids is, as of now, unseen, but it's there. Aside from depression, children may also suffer from the trauma, get this, stemming from the idea that they may kill their parents or grandparents simply by being around them. The author noted that young people are being conditioned to feel guilty about certain behaviors that would usually be considered normal. She commented, quote, it's not normal for children to grow up thinking that everyone is a danger to everyone else. In the beginning, we didn't know what we were dealing with. So there was a reaction, a knee-jerk, potent reaction. Okay, now we know. Now we see the ability to treat the disease, which is a major, it's a problem disease. I'm not trivializing it. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Don't mishear me. I'm simply saying that as this goes on, the effects otherwise are multiplying. And they, let me draw a parallel. People say, my teen is in another world because of her smartphone. The percentage of her person-to-person interactions have plummeted. Well, when you cut people off and you say, as in my state, no gatherings more than 10 people. We got to quit Christmas. And now we got Easter coming up. Are we going to have to quit Easter too? So, by the way, the second year we will have had to have done that. Is this not problematic for kids who are at the least risk of contracting this virus? And, of course, the debate is, can you really transmit it if you don't have it? So, all right. Anyway, that's enough. I'm done there. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. I'm Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me.
So you listen to me and you listen well. Pick up the phone and start dialing. I want you to deal with your problems.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better?
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Clean water is something we often take for granted. Turn on a faucet and out pours clean water that's safe for drinking. But that's not true in countries like Kenya, where the number one cause of child mortality is from drinking contaminated water. Together, we can change that. Cross Catholic Outreach works with local Catholic partners around the world to transform the lives of families living in poverty. You can join this mission at crosscatholic.org/bless. That's crosscatholic.org/bless.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Elizabeth, I wanted to go to you, and I will, so please be patient. But Chris called, and I think she's going to reveal kind of how people interpret what you say when you didn't say it. Oh, it's Chris the guy. Okay. Chris, you there?
I sure am. Thanks very much. I appreciate you taking my call.
Now, question. Just clarify something here.
I was listening to what you were saying.
Wait a minute. Chris, let me ask you a question. You said I'm criticizing social distancing?
No, I didn't say that. You didn't even hear what I said. I said what I heard you say was that you were concerned with regard to the impact of the social distancing on adolescents, with which I totally agree. I'm a dad of a teenager, and I can see it. At the same time, I don't know if you really realize, you were implicitly providing a critique that, you know, we can't have these Christmas gatherings, can't have the Easter gatherings, can't have more than 10 people together. And so I wanted to give you an opportunity to get a little bit more specific, because you may not realize, but I think to some people who are hearing, it's giving some support, maybe if you didn't realize it, to the concept of civil disobedience with regard to social distancing. Certainly here in California, you know, we've got a lot of tension about it, up and down the state. But the way that some people who are upset are deciding to act out is to say, let's have huge gatherings without masks. Let's just go ahead and have active social, civil disobedience because we don't believe this is real. And so I'm kind of encouraging you by the fact that you're bringing up the issue about the adolescents. As I said, it's real, and I appreciate you mentioning that I see the pain of my own son. But what are you recommending if you're saying that no gatherings of more than 10 is not appropriate?
Okay, fine. It's not my place to recommend, all right? I'm not a person in authority. However, one of the debates goes all the way down to constitutional. These are not laws. These are mandates. And these are mandates that are given because there's a supposed emergency. That's how they get around that. This is an emergency. This is a public emergency. So therefore, we can make these mandates. California is still restricted draconianly, okay? And what you're experiencing and these people reacting this way is you can't do this to people. They will push back, and sometimes they will push back inappropriately. That's a given. So, that said, the debate still is, and some courts have struck down some of these mandates, that you can you do this to people? Can you say you are not permitted to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G because we have decided this reaches an emergency level. And furthermore, it's an emergency for a year. Okay, that's the debate. One. Two, we have experiments. We have field experiments. We have Florida, for example, who is one of the most wide open states. And Florida, in the death toll for COVID, is 27th. And COVID has probably, or Florida has probably the oldest population of the states. So that's become, the question becomes, okay, wait a minute. Now, Florida is saying that they're not limiting gatherings. Where are all these spikes? What's happening here? Right? That's the second thing. What would I suggest? I personally would suggest that people need to decide for themselves the risk they want to take. They want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. You don't want to go somewhere? Don't go somewhere. But if you're going to say, my family is not allowed to come over here, and by the way, Chris, I know you're not a psychologist, and you see this happening with your dad. I see this happening in families. I've seen the devastation that's happening to grandparents who can't visit grandkids because their 37-year-old daughter or son says, no way, don't come around us. So you're right. I would suggest that we look at this now after a year and follow what we said in the beginning, which is we're going to protect the older people. Average age of death in Ohio is 80. We're going to protect the hospitals. We're going to flatten the curve, all of which we've done. All of which we've done. So when will we then say religious freedom can come back? I think those of us who are religious should be incensed that we have had to not only curtail so many things. You couldn't get last rites. You couldn't get communion. You couldn't do any of these things. On what basis? Because the secular government decided, and our clerics, and I'm not second-guessing them, went along and said, no, you can't. So, yeah, Chris, in answer to you, those are some of my suggestions. And I think as the numbers continue to go down, as they will, I think somebody could legitimately say, when are we allowed now to return to normal? When can kids have graduation parties? When will that be allowed? Chris, thank you for the call. I know I ranted a lot on that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Elizabeth, Texas. Are people naturally optimistic or pessimistic? Well, there is some temperament in that, Elizabeth, for sure. How are you?
Isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Good
sure.
stuff, Dr. A. Golly, good stuff. Thanks for all you do, man. I appreciate it. So my question for you then is, are people naturally optimistic or pessimistic? So I have a 9-year-old son, one of seven. He's in the middle. And I feel he's always negative. It seems like he's always negative or thinks everybody's against him. Or you ask him how he's doing and he says, well, you know, I hurt my toe. And he will never say good. So is that just naturally within him?
Probably.
so yeah. I shouldn't worry about it then, huh?
Either that, Elizabeth, or your parenting is really junky. You know, you're messing up your kid.
But one out of seven, you would think.
I would think. Yeah, I think maybe just you're just kind of you don't like him as much. He must pick up on that.
Okay. He totally thinks that. It's so
I know
true,
he does.
And I'm like, okay,
part of his pessimism.
What do I do?
Well, first of all, you probably don't feed into it at all. As best you can, you don't feed into it.
Sure.
If he says something like, "Well, my toe hurts," well, son, you're still able to walk around. Or
right.
I just did so terrible. Yeah, we do terrible sometimes. Isn't that the way it is? Mm-hmm. So you don't fuel it, but you recognize that that's his natural bent. It's kind of the way he's wired. You know, he just sort of goes that way. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that he won't mature out of it. That's not to say that at age 25, he'll be still looking at life through a blue lens.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, though, he's going to confront you with this blue look at life. And you're mm-hmm. thinking to yourself, come on, man. You don't have to be like this. You're 9 years old. You should be full of energy. You should have zest. You know, and someday you'll be allowed to play with your friends. And all of that is facing you because you had seven kids and they're all wired differently.
Okay.
And that's a lot of it. So you don't blame yourself, obviously. Yeah, you don't blame yourself. But you recognize, I'm not going to feed into this kind of negativism. You know, and I'm going to ignore half of the time when he complains.
Perfect.
Thank you, dear. I'll talk to you. Bye. We had to, with Chris, we had to pot it down because there were a lot of birds in the background, and I normally would have interacted more with Chris, but because the background was so chaotic, we had to pot it down.
Welcome to Spirit of Stewardship. Jeremy Belsky is your host for real life stories, encouragement, and ideas to enhance your own gifts of work, wealth, and wisdom in response to God's blessings for you.
I'm Jeremy Belsky, and today's topic is stewardship, a new spin on the money back guarantee. We've all heard it. Your satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. A business will back its product regardless of the amount used or consumed. They know it's worth the expense in order to maintain the customer's future business. But what about stewardship and our effort to make it a way of life? How does being a good steward of our work, wealth, wisdom, and prayer guarantee anything? The analogy between a business's money-back guarantee and living a stewardship way of life each produces a result. With the business model, you get a new product. With the stewardship model, you get the lifelong opportunity to enter the kingdom of heaven through faith and good works. Jesus wants you to do good with what you have, based on how he has blessed you. He shows his love and forgiveness through the sacrament of confession, and shows encouragement and hope throughout our daily prayers to him. Jesus sees his gifts to you when he sees you give to others. We are all created in God's likeness and image. Thus, we all have different gifts to share. Perhaps two key questions to ask yourself to gauge your own level of stewardship is this: what am I giving? And how am I being called to increase my performance? Spend some quiet time in prayer, preferably in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, and ask for God's guidance in living a stewardship way of life. Let His money back guarantee bring you peace, love, and happiness. I'm Jeremy Belsky, your host for Spirit of Stewardship.
To learn how you can better share your talents and resources, contact your local parish priest. Your level of involvement in the church now positively impacts our faith in the future.
Keeping my promise, which is, if you disagree with me, you're moved to the front, and we had to pot Chris down. I wasn't trying to talk over him. We had to pot him down because of the background. A lot of interference. It sounded like birds. So Chris is back, and I want to give him his chance to respond. Hi, Chris.
Hey, thanks very much for taking two on this, then, and I do appreciate you mentioning, like, you know, your response. You know, what I heard you say kind of in your soliloquy in response to my question was that, hey, let everybody make their own choice. So let me ask you just a couple questions. You mentioned Florida. Would you say that in Florida at the colleges that we go back to full dormitory, full fraternity parties across the state, full nightclubs within downtown Miami, you know, everything, you know, Miami, you know, Florida's got a lot of party scene, more so than some other states, right? Would you say in Ohio that we go ahead and Ohio State has the full 106,000 people there for an Ohio State-Michigan game and all the parties that go on before and after and everything that happens with that? You know, my son is a freshman in college. His university decided to open, depending on what the kids needed for class. They changed it to a single dormitory, so he's by himself in a dorm room. They have to be tested on a regular basis, two or three times a week. Now, they're really watching and locking it down, and they got to have masks on around campus and when they're in their classrooms. What I'm hearing you say is, hey, you know what? Let everybody decide. Could you maybe at least on that narrow thing with the millions of young people in parties around the country, you say, hey, let them go and make their own choice, do what they want?
Well, first of all, it's not my position to decide across the globe for everybody. That's part of the problem. The one shoe fits all. I would say these are all local decisions. These are decisions based upon the statistics in a given area. These are decisions based upon the risk of transmission among certain age groups. These are decisions that are to be made, I think, much more individually. You know, in an interesting way, the Catholic Church teaches subsidiary, which is the principle of things are best handled closer to home. That's my point. Yeah, I think a lot of those decisions can be made by the colleges, by the areas. Yes.
Or in many cases, it's going to have to be by governors or by boards.
Well, see, the governors now.
There is no national policy.
Yeah, well, they're trying.
I'm here. Well,
they're
on.
Trying, and they have in Great Britain. They have done that.
We're not in Great Britain. Great Britain is the size of Ohio population-wise.
No, it isn't. It's 50 million. It's 50 million.
Well, okay.
Chris, here's what I'm saying, Chris. I'm going to have to cut you off here again. Here's what I'm saying. At this point, these are massive mandates across culture, no matter the age, no matter the risk, no matter the social gathering, no matter what. Okay? So given that, I think we need to look at this a little more closely on a case-by-case, locality-by-locality basis, age-by-age basis, all of this stuff. You've got the CDC saying, open up the schools. And so what are the governors doing? No. What are the cities doing? No. Well, then who are you going to listen to? That's my point. There's a lot of problems with this kind of top-down dictatorial stuff. And it's affecting a lot of people in all kinds of bad ways. The suicide rate is off the charts for young people. Off the charts! Okay. Far more, for example, in Japan, the suicide is now more than COVID deaths for young people. Well, we got to ask some tough questions here. All right, Chris, thank you. I appreciate the call. And Monica says, Dr. Ray, why are you opposed to masks? Is that your question, Monica?
Is it my turn? It's Monica from Spokane.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. So I am a pediatrician, and I totally agree with your concerns regarding the teen suicide, which is not a new concern, but it is going up. On the other hand, I am, being Catholics and Christians, I think the first two tenets that we need to follow is love your God more than yourself and love your neighbor more than yourself. So I really don't understand how on a Catholic radio you can take this position against, for example, masks. If I can wear a mask to help my neighbor, why wouldn't I do that? What's such a big deal with wearing masks? So, you know,
Can I answer that, doctor? Doctor, can I answer that?
Okay.
This is part of the problem. When someone makes this a sign of Christian love, I didn't say I'm opposed to masks. That's not at all what I said in any way ever. I'm simply saying we need to look at this and say in what areas and with children, for example, who all are wearing masks, and if in fact children don't need to wear masks, and you know as well as I do, the science on this is really controversial. So if, in fact, children don't need to wear masks, and we're forcing every child, 50 million children in the U.S. to wear a mask, okay, we need to ask some questions here. How long is this going to go on? If we say that if I don't wear a mask, I don't love my neighbor, I will dispute that all the way, doctor. Absolutely. That has nothing to do with it. Okay, if I want to love my neighbor, let's make the speed limit on the highway 35 miles an hour because I'm much less likely to kill my neighbor going 35 miles an hour. See, we make judgments. We say, okay, when we make a culture-wide decision that affects everybody, we have to look at it and say, what are the downsides of this decision? So if I say on Catholic radio, I'm not being Christian, because I say the mask issue is something that needs to be decided, for example, on a case-by-case basis, locality-by-locality basis, age-by-age basis, risk-by-risk basis. And if it's not, then I don't love my fellow man. See, that's dangerous, because that's like saying, okay, if I drive 65 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone, I don't love my fellow man. I mean, you could say that about a lot of things. I know what you're saying, doctor, and I know you're a doctor, and I know that for you, this is a critical issue, and I respect it, absolutely respect it. But to make it an issue of somehow Christian morality, that I'm selfish, if I say we need to look at the broader picture, that therefore I should just say everybody wear masks, that's the way it is. Are you aware, doctor, that in Great Britain they are now saying, and I don't know how much this is going to be forced, triple masks. Did you know that? Triple masks in Great Britain.
Is it my turn to say something?
Yes, please go ahead. Please go ahead.
So first, you know, I see that you are very biased. First, the schools, you know, in Spokane, the schools have just opened. So the fact that you are saying the schools are not opening, the governor saying that,
many are still closed.
Everywhere.
Doctor, many are still closed. Many are still closed. Of course.
Well, many, you know, again, you are saying you want to look at the whole picture, but you on the radio putting a very biased picture.
Well, I don't know if it's biased. I think it's kind of a broader picture myself, but I do appreciate your perspective, and that's why there's so much controversy about this and so much disagreement, because if you say I'm biased, what you're saying is because I don't view it a certain way, I'm biased. And that does not open it up to dialogue.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence, and in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, He taught us a great lesson. He taught us that He came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect. Because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no. But you see, if you understood the awesomeness of God in all His power and all His wonder, and He comes down to our level, He wanted to feel, how do you feel? I don't know anybody that loves anyone that much. And this imperfect being that's you and me and all of us, He did it for us. That's why you should never despair, because you're imperfect.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
I understand Dr. Monica's position. I would imagine that most physicians are looking at it from that perspective, because they deal with illness, and that is their concern, to eliminate and lower the rates of illness and to do what you have to. She said something, though, that unsettled me, and I think it reflects where we're at in our culture. To even raise questions or to offer the possibility of a different perspective, she called it biased. To say that, therefore, if you don't look at it this way, then somehow you're narrow-minded or prejudiced. See, that's what's getting very scary for me as I see this as a culture. There are certain ways we're supposed to look at things, and you're not allowed to not only not look at them that way, but if you question looking at them that way, which is what you're supposed to do in science, in psychology, you're supposed to question this. You're supposed to say, Let's look at this. Let's look at possibilities. Let's look at what's happening. We have more data now. Let's include this data in the decision that we made 9 months ago. That isn't bias. That's openness. But it's interesting because given what people hear you say, they hear you say something very different than you're saying. That somehow I'm against masks. I've never said that. I am not, what's the word? I'm not expertise enough, if you will, to say you don't need one. But I am expertise enough to say, let me see the evidence. Don't just declare it. Frank, California, how are you?
Hey, good morning, doctor.
Thank you. What's up?
Can you tell us about any debates or any information they have to take the decisions they're taking here in California? Because I have a conference call with the teachers, and a couple of days ago they want to reopen the schools, but they want to do it with all these rules that I don't think my kids are going to be able to follow, with the mask and all these things. And they weren't able to tell me. They say, "Oh, we don't know. It's just they just tell us to do this." So I start
Frank,
asking questions.
Are all the schools
and the other parents?
Are all the schools in California?
The other parents start telling me that I should be quiet because, I mean, don't ask questions because you're making us nervous.
Frank, let me ask you: are all the schools closed still in California, or just certain areas?
I don't know. Here in my town, in my city, they're closed.
They're
planning to reopen them.
I think the L.A. City schools are closed, too, which is a massive school district. Okay, one of the top three.
Yeah, our district, all of them are closed, but they're thinking of opening. But okay. All these rules with the plexiglass and their faces and then the mask.
Yeah.
And then they cannot talk to each other. They cannot touch each other.
The question becomes, is that necessary? That becomes the question. And to ask that question brings you afoul of the narrative. That's why you get in trouble. You're not allowed to ask that. You're not allowed to say, what do we know about children carrying...
Yes, I asked the principal, say, what do you know about this? What you guys are doing this? Why? And they say, you know what? You're not supposed to ask this question, and we don't know because the state is telling us to do it. And
that's
other parents say, you know what? This guy is making us anxious. Please block him from the chat or whatever. So I said, I can ask questions. So they just want to do whatever they want with my kids.
Well, you make my point, Frank. You make my point, which is you're not even allowed to raise questions. Just shut up and do what you're told. That is a recipe, that is a formula for psychological struggles. Let me say a couple of things about the mask science. It's unarguable that the recommendation is masks are to be worn and they stop the spread. That is the declaration. The question becomes, okay, is that a declaration on the basis of medical understanding? Or is that a declaration because it's been studied, explored with this particular virus? Now, I'm familiar with a Danish study that was done, and I hope I get these statistics right on this. There was 5,000, group of 5,000. And they compared those who wore masks with those who didn't. And what they found was there was no difference, basically, in the contraction of the virus. Now, again, somebody's going to say, well, Dr. Ray, you're saying no mask. Oh, I'm just simply saying that's what that study said. Okay, may not be replicated. That's what it said. It'd be very, very difficult now. For example, I saw another statistic, and I don't know if this came from the CDC itself. 85% who have contracted COVID wore masks completely in the previous several weeks. Okay, so, and most will tell you that COVID is contracted at home by family members, close relations, high percentage. So given all that, to say, okay, masks are absolutely necessary. Well, here's the other problem with masks, Frank, especially with little kids. They touch that mask 20 times an hour. They fiddle with it. They don't clean it. They don't wear it right. I mean, I've read articles that have said masks are effective if they're properly fitted, properly worn, proper masks. The cloth masks that you buy right now on the box say will not stop a virus. So there's so many questions surrounding all of this that needs to be looked at much more closely. Instead, it's just, absolutely, here's what you do, shut up. That's, to me, as a guy with a PhD in research and clinical, it's just unsettling. And I don't know when and how long we will just continue to say, this is what you must do. And no matter as the data comes in, just continue to do it because you have to. We said so. Go ahead, Frank. Go ahead.
So about these rules they're trying to enforce with the young kids, they want to have them in a little cages with the glass and then the mask and then don't talk, don't get close to any other kids and don't give them any objects or whatever, clean this and clean your hands.
Yes.
Psychologically, can it affect them?
Well, sure it can. Of course it can. Look at the statistics. Absolutely it can. This is not normal. You don't do this to people. I saw an article from a very high-ranking virologist who basically said, this is the first time in human history that we have quarantined healthy people. First time ever. You know, normally you quarantine the sick. You quarantine those at risk. We can quarantine healthy people. So, Frank, part of what I would say is if you're that concerned about it, keep your kids at home and homeschool them. Homeschool. I think you'll have a much better relationship with them. You're right. They're going to go to school. They're going to sit in their little plexiglass boxes. They're going to wear masks all day long. Recent school district over here, the kids were not allowed to go outside for recess and play tag. You can't play tag. You can't touch another kid. Just don't do it. I mean, all right. I've gone on enough. Thank you. Thank you, Frank. This is Dr. A. Take a break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
In Nicaragua, many children grow up in rural areas not knowing what it's like to have clean, safe drinking water. Their water sources are often shared with farm animals, and the water is infested with high levels of bacteria. Together, we can change that. Cross Catholic Outreach works with local Christian partners, providing clean, abundant water to families in need. This dramatically transforms the health and the lives of generations to come. To learn more, visit crosscatholic.org/transform.
You know, it's interesting. I was very reluctant to start off with a COVID monologue. And because when you do that, you arouse such passion in people that other issues don't come to the fore. Some of the personal issues, the struggles, the things we talk about in this program don't come up because the calls quickly go toward the COVID issue. To reiterate, I'm not in a position to say this is what must be done, this is what must not be done. I'm not in that position. I am in a position to say, why can't we ask a lot of questions? Why can't we take what we are being told from various sources compare it and say, if that, then why not this? Fear is an unbelievable motivator. It is the survival instinct for people. And if you want to control a person, there is nothing, psychologically speaking, that supersedes fear. If you create fear, people will do what you tell them to do. And if someone questions it, when the bulk of folks are living in a state of fear. I visited my uncle not so long ago, and he said to me, well, I just think that, you know, everything I've seen is if you get the disease, you're going to die. Now, nothing could be further from the truth, okay? The survival rate is 99 plus in people under age 65 or so. So given all that, the fear is what is so pervasive now, and it hasn't seemed to have subsided, even though the safety factor has dropped or has risen dramatically from 2, 3, 4 months ago. Absolutely. Okay, Virginia from St. Louis says that local governments shouldn't make these decisions, that the feds have all the information. Hi, Virginia, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, thanks. Thank you for the call. All right, my dear, you make your case.
Okay, I guess my question is, you know, you said that, you know, the decision should be made more at the local level. But, you know, how does the local level have the information that, you know, how are the strains going? How are the, you know, all the different things that are going on? How much variance are we seeing? What's that variance, you know, how, you know, those type of things, educators and, you know, whether it's the president of a university or the superintendent of a school system, they don't know all the information that the scientists are continuing to figure out. So it just baffles me that, you know, it's kind of to me like the Catholic Church, for example, said, you know, no birth control. And all the people said, well, why not? We don't understand that. We don't get it. Well, no, we didn't get it. And not many people did birth control, not realizing that it could cause a spontaneous abortion. And they didn't have that information. They didn't have that. So a lot of what is happening on the local level, you know, you're saying keep it on the local level and that type of thing. What has to be local level people don't have the same knowledge.
Okay, Virginia, we're losing you. We're losing you. So, okay, you've made that point. Okay, let me respond to it. First of all, they do have that knowledge because they have access to the federal data. They've got it. Nobody is saying that the CDC and certain federal pieces of information are not available. They have that. What they do is, what they have that the feds don't, is they have their own unique circumstances. They have their own figures locally. You know, you can't compare Montana with New York City. You just can't. It's completely different living situations. So on top of that, each county has a Department of Health. So the people involved in the Department of Health can be consulted. We rarely do this with anything. We rarely say, that's why our founders said that the states should have tremendous authority to govern their own affairs, because they knew that the one size fits all power centralized tends to coalesce and it becomes dangerous to individual liberties. Okay, I've got about 1 minute to say this. The Equality Act has just been passed in the House of Representatives. The Equality Act basically says that it would be illegal for any church, any organization at all to not hire people who, in fact, have struggles with morals that the church would go against in terms of sexuality. They're not allowed. They're not permitted. So as the government gains more power over locales, the locales simply do not have the ability to govern themselves according to their own unique circumstances. And they do have the information, Virginia. It's everywhere. We have an internet. We have unbelievable amounts of information available. I do appreciate that call, though. And that was a point that needed to be answered. Okie dokie. As I thought, I'm not bringing up COVID again. Oh, my gosh, because it arouses such passion. And that's exactly my point. The reason it arouses such passion is there's the fear component. And when that fear component exists, people are so emotional that they're going to hear what they want to hear in order to, quote unquote, survive as they think they must. Okie dokie. I'm Dr. Ray. I thank you for an effervescent interchange. I do appreciate it. You can't go wrong with asking questions. And those of us who know that this isn't our only existence, that there's more, we might want to look at things a bit differently than the secular culture.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.